Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics.
Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Carl Carlson.
And this is Diana Deeney. Hello again, Carl.
Hello, Diana. Just having some fun podcasting today. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, me too.
In this new book that I'm writing, I added a chapter, this new book on FMEA, I'm adding a chapter called Harnessing the Power of AI in FMEAs.
That's very timely.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I've been doing research on the subject. I'm excited at the opportunities. I'm worried about the cautions. And so I have mixed emotions all the time on the subject. I'll share a short story of where I was on this a couple years ago.
Okay.
Years ago. At RAMS, I organized a debate, Oxford-style debate, with experts on automated FMEA and myself and a colleague on team-based FMEA. And we basically, the whole premise was FMEA, automated or team-based. And by Oxford, I mean, we had the audience involved. We asked each other questions. It was all on a certain format. We got feedback from the audience and things. It was really, really interactive and went for a couple of hours. And what happened is we came together on this whole subject and came up with a hybrid in that it involved both certain amount of electronics and automation, but very focused on where the teams are needed and that type of thing. A few years ago, pre the AI boom. And it was so interesting to openly debate that topic. And I'm still in the same place, which is we have to be open to the advantages of AI and be very cautious about the limitations of AI and be very assertive on the human role in AI. And so in this new book that I'm writing, my chapter talks about what are the limitations for AI. And in doing that, I drew on my own experience with colleagues, talking with colleagues about what they've been running into. And I interviewed four different AI platforms with extensive prompts introducing the subject and asking for the strengths and weaknesses from AI in their opinion. And then I summarized that and brought it together into one set of thinking on the subject. So I thought it'd be interesting to talk about what the human role is. I mean, I'll mention a couple of things on what the cautions are, but that's its own podcast. What are the cautions? But what's important to me is that as well is what are we as humans? Where do we need to be involved so all this happens in the right way? So that's the idea for a podcast. What do you think?
Well, so I've been exploring AI agents for my own work. They're representing like a cross-functional team. I just finished some case studies where I wanted to evaluate the process of concept development, a process a team would go through. And, you know, with each company has their own products and own way of doing things. Each team is different. Each team that you get together at a certain point in a project is going to be different. So I did a case study with the AI agents to represent the cross-functional team to sort of take them out of the equation as a variable. So the AI agents made it more of a constant for me to do a case study on how work would get done in early concept development. So through that work, I just learned more about agents and how they work and how to program them. So I think the limitations of AI is we're kind of standing on sand, right? It's constantly shifting. And the more we learn about it, the more that we do things with it. There's a ton of people on YouTube that are doing really cool things with AI, exploring this. The more I'm convinced that it's just a tool that can help us do the work that's already well-defined. But that how we use that tool is constantly shifting, and the way to learn how it's going to shift and how it's going to help us with our work is just to use it, to try it. But with the caveat that, you know, it's untested, or like you said, you know, finding the limitations of what we're doing at the moment. So the limitation that we found last year isn't going to be the same limitation that we find this year. It's going to be different. So that's something that I like to keep in mind, is just not that we need to constantly, well, we may need to constantly pivot when we're using these tools. But there are some basics that we need to keep in mind. And I like how you said asserting the human role in these processes, understanding the limitations, and approaching it that way is a good approach.
Yeah, very good summary and lead up. And I know we don't have a huge amount of time, but let me just touch on some of the, is it every one of these topics you could go for a long time, but some of the lessons learned so far is the importance of prompting. And I'm preaching the choir here because I'm sure you've run into this, and I know others have. But for listeners, AI has to be well prompted. In other words, they need to know the background, the lead up, the context, what you want their role to be, that type of thing. And so is so important that you get the questioning and the prompting and the background right, leading into the how you want AI involved.
Yeah, and I want to double that, what you said, the context. That's what really matters. What AI misses and what you don't give AI at a context, that could lead to problems. And that's why the human role is important to define with the context. But I wanted to just double down on what you said there with the context.
Yeah, thank you for that. I've really identified there's so many topics here in terms of what AI says are their limitations and what humans also recognize as limitations. One of them is fundamentals. AI doesn't deeply understand fundamentals. And so you need to make sure that if you're using AI and FMEA, that the AI system computers are well trained on proper FMEA fundamentals, not just what's out there in standards, not just what's out there on the internet, but real fundamentals. So they get that knowledge base. Now the training of AI is very critical. One of the other limitations I'll mention before we get into the human side is I'll call it hallucinations, errors, scope creep, a whole set of things that we know from experience AI can do. And so you have to be on guard for those things. You have to know where the guardrails are, and you have to be aware if it's creeping into something outside the boundaries of what your analysis is, because it can do that very easily. It's really good at coming up with lots of different ideas. Another thing I'll mention is newness. You mentioned NUD in the previous podcast. What's it? The newness and novelty of systems is where we're applying FMEA often. We don't typically apply FMEA for something that has no changes to it. There's no change in environment, no change in application, no change in technology. We're applying to newness. And that's where the humans get involved a lot, because the humans understand deeply. And AI made it clear to me when I was interrogating this and researching for this subject, they don't have a deep understanding of these concepts. And the human experts do. And so we want them quite importantly involved in meaningful ways throughout the process, particularly on new and changed applications and technology, where you can't just go on your data. And that's the thing. AI is very good at data assimilation and pattern recognition and analysis of data. But the data going into the FMEA has a relative value depending on how much change there is in the system you're analyzing. And so humans have a tremendous role in that. Creativity and innovation. AI made me recognize their limitations in creativity and innovation. And humans have always impressed me with their imagination and their ability to see things from a lot of different points of view and come up with connections thereby. And so that is both a limitation of AI and a strength of humans, is on that innovation and creativity side. Also, I'll characterize it as critical thinking. So these are just some of the notes that I've been taking in writing this chapter. The last thing I'll mention, and then I want to open up to you, is I see no place where humans will be replaced in FMEA. I do not see that happening, and I have a really good imagination as to where this could go. I think that would be a dangerous place to get to. That's why I'm making it very clear what the human roles are in this book I'm writing, and how accountability and curiosity and intellectual honesty and different things come into play with humans, and they bring that into the process. And I'll just leave this one point. I want to turn it back to you. Is some people have recommended, well, let's have AI do the FMEA and the humans will review it. Let me just say right off the bat, that is not a good idea. And there's a lot of reasons it isn't a good idea. But one of the main reasons is humans don't do a very good job seeing what isn't there. If you put something up on a screen and ask humans to critique it, they will critique what they see, not as easily critique what they don't see and what is missing. And so I'm very concerned about the idea of AI do the FMEA and then humans will just review it. So that was a mouthful. Let me turn it back to you, Diana, for your thoughts on this whole subject.
Well, let's keep the human aspect going, and then I have some other thoughts about some of the other things. So one of the benefits of FMEA is doing it early, right? We talked before that if it's done as a checkbox item after the fact, just to get it done, it's not very valuable. It is an analysis that's done early to help you make decisions. So a lot of the decisions you have yet to make, which I think is what you're getting at when you say, somebody looks at something and they can pick it apart, but there's some fixedness involved, is what I've learned to call it, as a cognitive bias of fixedness, where if we look at something that's already done, it's done in there, and we're kind of just looking for mistakes. Whereas if it's undefined yet, if it has yet to be done, if we're participating in the creation of it, we are more creative and more innovative with our thinking. And I think that's what you were also talking about. Is that right, Carl?
Yeah, the more creative, more innovative, particularly on new areas that haven't evolved or haven't matured.
And that's the exact point when you're trying to do FMEA. If you're doing it for real, if you're in your project, you know what the system is roughly, but you don't know exactly what it looks like. So you're doing an FMEA to help you figure out what it's supposed to look like. What things do you need to change, or what decisions do you need to make or do differently in order to reduce the occurrence of a risk of a failure, or to better detect it earlier in how it's used, or earlier in manufacturing? So at the time, it's sort of like the time when you're doing FMEA sort of dictates some of the human involvement in the creation of the FMEA, and is a detriment to using AI for those kind of things. Is that what you're also saying?
Yeah, it's very much so. There's a really good role for AI in preparing information, analyzing information, bringing in inputs, that type of thing, even making suggestions. I want to see AI and humans interacting throughout the FMEA. AI can be very helpful in preparation, and I cover that in my book as to what roles are good for AI and good for humans on preparation. It can be very helpful throughout. I actually want to try something, which is maybe some people have done this. I would love to hear from people. There are certain things that I've already tried. So let me back up. Pre-population is very possible, has been for years, on certain areas of FMEA. And pre-population is not good in certain other areas. So knowing that's important, irrespective of AI. But when the FMEA team is together, I'm considering having like an AI bot as a team member, and that has immense knowledge about the systems and the mechanics and the history and everything like that. And so you don't have to say, okay, we're going to take a break while we go research this area. All of that will be pre-programmed in. And so they can say, AI would say, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? Those are appropriate. So I'm just thinking there's that. Let me bring up one of the big concerns and one of the human roles, and that's ethics. Ethics and morality. The humans have an innate skill of ethical awareness and accountability and passion and emotion in the right way to bring into a project. And what is meaningful in terms of ethics and morality, AI does not. AI does not have, other than what's programmed into it, a sense of ethics. And that was brought up to me by the AI programs. Be careful about, it says AI can have an inability to handle ethical considerations and inherent to safety critical engineering. That's from four different AI programs that brings that to my attention. At the same time, the opposite is true of humans. So I want to have humans involved throughout, particularly in safety critical or performance critical areas. Summarize it a little bit.
What I think we're saying is that we're not advising that you do a checkbox FMEA and just have AI do it all. There needs to be human involvement in decisions, because you're making risk-based decisions about things that you're creating that could affect other people. But where AI is good is coming up with those decision supports or interactive dashboards, helping you to visualize the risk, the overall risk that you've accumulated when you've been doing your FMEA process. It can also help with collaborating with other teams, making sure that the version control is up to date and that everybody's working on the right thing. Or when I was talking with Chris on another episode of Speaking of Reliability, he was using AI to help assign action items and make sure that the highest priority risks were being addressed as part of the project. So these are all wonderful uses of AI with FMEA. But again, it's a process of doing FMEA that we're using AI to assist with, to help with. It's not replacing decisions, but it's enhancing and enabling us to use more of the data and information more easily, which can lead to better decisions. And in the end, that's what we really want out of these FMEAs, is to make better informed decisions so we can make the best, safest, least failure kind of products to put into the world.
It's a really, really good summary. Fred and I came in. Actually, I'll acknowledge Fred for this. We had in our process of reliability engineering book, we had a certain number of steps. You know, you have your strategic vision, you have your gap analysis, et cetera, et cetera. And he added a step called supporting decisions, engineering decisions, that is so critical. Everything centers around that. And so it supports exactly what you're saying, Diana, is that we want our work in reliability engineering and FMEA and everything else that we're doing in quality and reliability to support good engineering decisions. And AI can help in that, but it can't do it for you because those decisions are critical to the business. And you have to have a deep understanding of the business in order to make decisions like that. And AI does not. It said to me, AI does not truly understand your mission, customers, priorities, what matters most to your company. It doesn't truly understand. One of my learnings from Toyota years ago is the value of teams, where the individual team members can contribute, but there's a synergy that's greater than the sum of the parts. And that's a human synergy where you go, oh my goodness, I hadn't thought of that. And you go back and forth. And sometimes things come up that the individuals wouldn't have thought of. And so there's a really important role for human creativity and involvement. This topic, as you mentioned, is evolving at lightning speed. It is changing. And what we do this year is going to be different from what we do next year. I want to keep myself and people that I work with grounded on fundamentals, because that's so important. It's never going to be replaced by AI, is the knowledge and having correct fundamentals. But I want to throw it open to the listeners. I'm sure you're involved in this in many ways in your company. Some of you may be struggling. Some of you may have made breakthroughs. Please share those. Let's make this a dynamic conversation. And it'll be topics for future podcasts. Any final comments from yourself, or how can people get in touch?
People can get in touch by visiting ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. You can leave a voicemail. You can leave a comment. There's lots of ways to connect with us. And we'd like to hear how you're approaching AI with your FMEAs. Are you taking, it's not like the whole FMEA shebang, but is there a certain step that you're using AI to help you understand, do some of that pre-work for FMEA that Carl and I just talked about in the last episode, helping you to understand some of the context, or using it at the end to help you manage action items? We'd like to hear what it is that you're doing.
Very good. Excellent. Great conversation. Let's consider this the beginning of a longer conversation.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right. Thank you very much. Enjoyed talking to you, Diana.
Same here, Carl.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.